Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. Be sure to read through the announcements. There are a number of things that are happening around here. Just a couple of things to highlight. Today at 3 o'clock, we do have our worship service out at the nursing home, Yorktown Manor Nursing Home. Anyone is welcome to be out there and visit with some of the residents there at Yorktown Manor. And then next Sunday, we have New Member Sunday. May 3rd is New Member Sunday. So if you would like to join, or if you know of anybody who's interested in joining, please give me a call. Also on that Sunday then, too, we will have a reception for them and also a lunch for them, or lunch reception for them at 11:30 in the Fellowship Hall. Okay, other announcements? Anybody else? You got one? All right.
Good morning. I'm here to announce Muffins with Mom. It will be taking place May 10th on Mother's Day in the Fellowship Hall during the Sunday school hour. Please, if you are a mom, come join us. Everybody's welcome. That's a mom. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Aiden. Other announcements? Anybody else? Okay. Then I invite you to rise as we sing our opening hymn, Let the Whole Creation Cry. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
In the Word was life.
And the life was the light of all people.
The Word became flesh and lived among us.
And we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth.
Build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, grant us pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all our sins.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Living God, Jesus reveals himself and is present with us in the breaking of the bread. May our hearts burn within us and our eyes be open to his presence among us and for us through his redeeming work. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing the hymn, Alleluia, Jesus Lives. You may be seated.
The first lesson is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 14a and 36 through 41. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read Psalm 116, verses 1 through 14, responsively. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy.
Because he inclines his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live.
The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish.
Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I prayed, deliver my soul.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful.
The Lord preserves the sinner. When I was brought low, he saved me.
Return, O my soul, to your rest. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you.
For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling.
I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living.
I will lead in my soul. I am greatly afflicted.
I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars.
What shall I do?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
The second lesson is from the first book of Peter, chapter 1, verses 17 through 25. If you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of the Lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. That very day, two of Jesus' followers were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these last days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body,
They came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels, who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, "Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. What, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." And so we went in to stay with him. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning, ladies. How are you? I have some questions for you and something to show you here. All right. And let's see what we got in my little box here today. We have a can of something, right? Okay. Now, looks like tuna. It could be. But how are we going to know what's in it?
You could open it.
Got to open it, right? Well, you got to have the right tool to open it, right?
Yeah.
So you got to have a can opener, right? Don't know what it is until we get it open, okay? Got to have that tool, okay? What else do we got here? We have what?
Envelope.
Wonder what's in it. Do you know? What about you? You know? How are we going to get in it? Open it. We need another tool, don't we? We could use a letter opener, right? We know something's in there and it's special, but we don't know until we get that tool out. If the lights were to go out in here right now, need more power? We'd need a flashlight to show us the way, right? And even in the dark, we know there's things out there, but we wouldn't know if they would hit us on our knees or in our face or we'd walk into somebody. We need a tool. Well, in today's gospel lesson, there are two men that all of a sudden see another man on the road. He just kind of suddenly appears. And they start to walk with him. And they find out that he doesn't know anything about what's going on in Jerusalem. He doesn't know anything about the cross. He doesn't know anything about the resurrection. And they think they do. But then he pulls out a tool. He pulls out the scriptures. And he starts talking to them about them. He starts talking about what Jesus was supposed to really do. They had seen it, but they didn't totally understand it. It was kind of like there's something in the can, but we know it's special, but we don't know what it is yet. And so he pulls out the scriptures, and he starts to speak to them and tell them all the story about Jesus. And then he pulls out another tool. They invite him in, even though he seems to be going on, and he pulls out another tool. He takes the bread, he blesses it, and he breaks it. And that's when they remember. That's when they start to feel like this is Jesus that was walking with us and telling us all these things. He pulls out that other tool. Well, we have this tool all the time. You know, I've read this thing for many years. I've done sermons. I've done Sunday school all my life and all of that. And you know what? It still amazes me that I can open it and we'll be listening to a story or be talking about story or we'll hear it in church or we can be reading it myself or looking in Sunday school, and I'll look in there and I'll go, I've never seen that before. Isn't that cool? We have these tools, but guess what? We have to use them. It's up to us to use them. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have church. That's why we have this book to look at all the time. And we also have this thing up here called communion, the tool that he used where he broke the bread. We need those things. It's important to have those things. It's important, more importantly, to use those things. So I hope you will use them every chance you get so that you can have that same feeling that those men had. Didn't our hearts burn? Wouldn't that be cool? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you give us tools to use, tools in life, but also tools in faith. Help us to use those tools you've given us, your holy word, our place here, a church where we can worship and also have Sunday school and learn, and also your wonderful gift of Holy Communion, where we can break bread with you. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. Have a good day.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We all have those times in our lives that change our lives. At that moment, there's something that happens and our life is changed. We can't go back to where we were before because our life has changed. And it starts early. We go through a number of them throughout our lifetimes. Think about a child just learning to walk. And all of a sudden, they're walking. Now, every once in a while, they may crawl, but they're not going to crawl if they can walk. They're going to get up. They're going to want to move. They're going to be all over the place. They're going to be here and there, and they're going to be getting into things. Their life has changed, and so has yours if you're the parent of that child, because you got to move a lot faster. Or think about when you first got your driver's license, of how that felt. The responsibility that you have, but also that freedom. Now you can go where you want to go. Your life has changed. There's changes that are for the good. There's changes for the bad. There's changes that we might not know exactly when the date was. And then there are those that we know the date. Such as if you got married. You know that date that you got married. You remember your wedding. Your life changed on that day because now you are joined with somebody else. And you depend upon that person. You grow to love them even more. There's also tragic times as well then too. The death of your parent. You depended upon your parents all through life. Even as an adult, when you lose your parent, you have lost something because they have been your mentor throughout life. They have provided for you. They've been your source of wisdom. They have been the ones who have taught you. And we miss that person. Our life changes once again. There may be other happy moments, though, too, such as the birth of a child. When that child is born, especially if it is your first child, life changes drastically. But it is for the good. It is for the good. And but then, too, there's tragic situations. Maybe going through a divorce or when your spouse dies. That person that you have depended upon is no longer there. You have to learn how to do all those things that your partner did. You depend upon each other. Your partner does some things better. You do some things better, but you have to learn to do all of them. It's tragic when a child dies. Your life is never the same again. And we can't erase that memory, but we cannot go back. We cannot go back to the time when our child was still alive. We have life-changing moments all throughout our lives, and we can't go back after each one of them. If you were here last Sunday, you heard the gospel reading, or you know that gospel reading of the story of the doubting Thomas. The disciples were all gathered together on that first Easter Sunday. And The women came back and they said, Jesus is risen. The tomb is empty and we spoke to angels. And so they go out and check, and sure enough, the tomb is empty, but there are no angels. But then a little while later, here comes Jesus. He walks in through those locked doors and he says, peace be with you. And they see his hands and his feet and his side. They see those wounds and their life changes because Jesus is alive, and they are excited. And they were gathered together. There's probably the disciples and probably some other followers as well then too. But Thomas was not there. And so they tell Thomas during the week, and on that next Sunday then, Thomas is there and Jesus once again returns. And Jesus shows Thomas those holes in his hands and that scar in his side and the scars in his feet. And Thomas believes and he says, my Lord and my God. Thomas cannot go back to the life he had. Christ truly was risen. He was alive. They saw him die and he was alive. They saw him buried and he is no longer buried. But he is there in their midst. And it changes the direction completely of the lives of the disciples. And so today our gospel lesson also takes place on that first Sunday of Easter. There were other followers there in that room in Jerusalem as well. But they lived 7 miles away in the town of Emmaus. And so when it was time for them to go back, they headed back. But on the way back, they were confused. And they were discussing the things of the day or things of this last week that had happened. The crucifixion, the torture, the burial. They saw Jesus was dead. And now they hear reports from the women that he is alive. That they saw the empty tomb. That they saw a vision of angels that said Jesus was alive. How can this be? And so they were confused. They were probably debating with each other. They were trying to figure it out. And then another man joins them. It was Jesus, and they couldn't recognize him. And Jesus tells them all of the prophecies in the Old Testament, pointing to Jesus and how Jesus fulfilled all of those prophecies. Still, they didn't recognize him. But when they came to Emmaus, they invited him into their home, and it was there. In the breaking of the bread, it was when he blessed the food, and he took a loaf, and he broke it. That's when the disciples, those followers, realized who Jesus was, and their lives were changed forever. Even so much so, right there immediately, that they ran all the way back to Emmaus. Now, remember, they had just walked 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and now they're rushing back another 7 miles back to Jerusalem. They were excited. They could not go back to the lives they had before. They realized that this Christ was truly the Christ. He was the chosen one. He was the Messiah. He was the Savior of the world, and he was in their midst. He had conquered death, and you can't forget that. You can't realize that. You can't know that. You can't believe that without your life changing. Now, in our first lesson for today, it's taken from 50 days after that first Easter Sunday. It's taken on the day of Pentecost. The disciples, once again, were gathered in that room, and there were probably other followers as well then, too, within that room. And that's when the Holy Spirit came rushing in like the sound of a mighty wind, and they saw tongues of flame. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they couldn't stay there because their lives were changed again. They had to go out into the streets. They had to proclaim the story of Jesus Christ. They had to proclaim the good news. They had to proclaim that Jesus overcame death, that he rose from the dead, and that he is alive. They went out in the streets, and it caused all sorts of commotion. People couldn't comprehend. Here's all these disciples who were here from Palestine, and they were speaking all these other languages. How could they do that? What's happening? And all that commotion was going on, and Peter gets up, he calms the whole crowd, and he preaches a powerful sermon. A sermon so powerful that people actually listen, they actually hear what he has to say, and they realize the truth. They hear that truth. And the reaction is when they hear that Jesus was crucified, that the religious leaders were responsible, and they felt a responsibility upon themselves then too for that death of Jesus. And they say, "What shall we do? We crucified the Christ. What shall we do?" And Peter simply says, "Repent and be baptized." Repent and be baptized. The word repent means to turn around. It means to change directions. It means that you are having a life-changing moment. That Jesus changes our lives. When we repent, when we say these things, I'm going in the wrong direction, I'm doing the wrong things, when we turn around, when we finally realize who this Christ is, this is Jesus who overcame death and he rose from the dead. When we finally realize who God is, our lives change. In our second lesson for today, it's Peter once again, but this time he's not talking, he is writing. And he writes in there, "Conduct yourselves with fear." Now, normally when we see, or I've heard it this way, of when you hear the term fear of the Lord, or fear of the Lord, that it means respect the Lord, realize who God is, and respect him. But it's even more in that, more than that. It means to stand in the awesome presence of God, to realize the awesomeness of who God is. God is all-powerful. God is all-seeing. God is all-knowing. God is everywhere present, and God is love. It's us, when we stand in fear or conduct ourselves in the fear of the Lord, it means that we are the gnat standing next to an elephant. We are a pebble standing next to a 12,000-foot high peak. We are a piece of dust floating in a hurricane. That's the significance of who God is, the power that God has. We have no control over God, but God has control over everything. Even the control, even the power to raise Jesus from the dead. And since God is love, he gives the promise that we too will rise with Christ. God has that power to eliminate death. You know how powerful death is. You have lost people who have died. You miss them in your life now. Your life has changed because of that event. God is able to overcome all of that. And when we realize that awesome power of God, when we conduct ourselves in that fear of the Lord, fear is not being afraid. It's just realizing that this almighty being is right here with us. And that almighty being is made of love. That he wraps us up and he carries us. He gives us that power to rise up again. We've gone through life-changing events, some for the good, some for the bad. We know some of those bad ones, that sometimes bad things just happen. We have no control over that. Sometimes bad things happen to us because of other people. And many times, bad things happen because we have made wrong choices. One of the most interesting things I find about this story about Doubting Thomas was that when Jesus comes back and he reveals himself to the disciples and to Thomas, his scars are still there. His wounds are still there. It doesn't mean all the bumps and the bruises and the hurts and the pains and everything else of our past just disappear. Those wounds of Jesus weren't erased. They were still there. But yet, he had risen from the dead. He was alive. He was well. Those things that changed our lives in the past, those things that were good for the bad, they're not erased. They're still with us. But even more powerful than that is that love of God that brings us forgiveness. Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." Rise for the confession of faith. In Christ you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray to our risen Savior on behalf of the church, the world, and all people according to their need. Gracious God, you ransom and purify your church with your own precious blood. Grant that the church glorifies you, lives in glad obedience to you, and preaches your gospel to all. Lord, in your mercy. Grant that the teachings and testimony of missionaries, seminary professors, students, and theologians of the church cause many hearts to burn with repentance, faith, and joy. Lord, in your mercy. Bless this congregation with your dear presence. Cause our hearts to burn within us as we hear your word. Come to us in the breaking of the bread at your table. Kindle sincere affection and love between us all. Make us eager and tireless in telling our family, friends, and neighbors about your love for them, which has triumphed over sin and death. Lord, in your mercy. Be the companion, comfort, and sure defense of everyone who is far from home and family. By your grace, grant that all may find a true and eternal home with you. Lord, in your mercy. Heal the suspicions, cruelty, and self-centeredness which afflict the people and the leaders of every nation. Teach us reverent obedience to the Father, who judges impartially according to our deeds. Cut our hearts to the quick when we see the hurts and the injustices. Give us strength to help however we can. Make all of us slow to condemn and swift to show mercy. Lord, in your mercy. We plead on behalf of all who suffer in body, mind, heart, or spirit. We pray especially for Lynn Magura, Elaine Molina, Rosa Harton, Joe Barnes, Janet Lemke, Jordan Peterson, Nancy Gidry, Gary Turner, and the families of Joan Fisher and B. McNabb. And Lord, we also want to give you thanks for the rain. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Jesus, with gratitude and affection, we remember your servants whose death is precious in your sight. Stay with us who still walk the long Emmaus roads of life. Bestow on us the grace and comfort of the Holy Spirit. Deliver us from sorrow and lead us into your Father's house. Lord, in your mercy. We praise and magnify you, dear Jesus. Accept our prayers and lay them at the feet of your Father, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns gloriously as our Lord and our God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated.
us pray. Merciful God, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come, for the gifts of God have been made ready for the people of God. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O God, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with one heavenly food, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage, hold fast to that which is good, Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you're invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.